بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فنسأل الله عز وجل بأسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العلى أن يجعلنا وإياكم من المستمعين للقول والمتبعين أحسنه، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. ثم أما بعد، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I ask Allah جل وعلا to protect us and to always keep our hearts firm on His path. Because in the dunya it's very easy to lose yourself, especially when one is afflicted or tested with many things which a human being can be tested with in this life, like poverty, like people, you know, breaking your trust, people slandering, people gossiping, people stabbing you in the back while you were there, while you were helping them yesterday, other people, you know, gossiping about you while you were only saying good things about them, people wanting you to fall down while you were the one who elevated their status with the will of Allah Jalla wa'ala. As long as you do your things for the sake of Allah Jalla wa'ala, you will never regret what you do. The only reason why we regret the good things we do is because we didn't do them for Allah. If we do things for Allah, then whether people love it or don't, whether people thank us or don't, we don't care. And this is why ikhlas is the most difficult thing ever. When we hear about ikhlas, very often we think it's an easy thing. Just be sincere and everything will be all right. But being sincere means that you turn off your ego. That is being sincere. Sincere is nothing more but I am no longer important. I don't want anything from creation. I just want it from the Creator. I don't care whether all the entire world is against me. As long as I am on the haqq, Allah is with me. I don't care whether all the people are next to me, supporting me. Because if I am on the path of batil, then Allah will be against me. So ikhlas is all about you drowning in a correct understanding of what it means to be a slave of God Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means that everything turns around Him and not around you. And this is so difficult because very often in life, you will find that things don't go the way you like them to go at all. Sometimes you look at the puzzle and it just doesn't make sense. You look and you say, this doesn't make sense. Why is the one that is crushing me with lies believed? Why is the one that is slandering and I am just being patient, saying, Ya Rabbi, help me, Ya Rabbi, stop the batil. But he doesn't stop it yet. Because he wants you to lose yourself. He wants you to give up on yourself until you are broken, until you are on your knees, until you don't find even the strength to say, Ya Rabbi, help me. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. And do you really expect to enter paradise without being afflicted by that which they who were before you were afflicted with? They were afflicted with pain and suffering until the Prophet and the believers said, when is Allah's help? Ya Rabbi, I can't, you know, please give me a sign. Ya Rabbi, I feel alone. I'm on the haqq. I'm on the truth. But I feel so alone. At some times a true mu'min may have the feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no longer with him because he keeps on being tested and afflicted. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He said, like in the Jami' of Imam Suyuti, in the hadith is sound, that tests will be poured down on a true believer quicker than rain is poured down upon the earth. This is what we were created for. We are the object of tests in life. And as long as we don't understand this, we will break, our heart will be broken every time over and over again. because we want everything to be perfect. Sometimes we don't say this, but it looks like we think to be the rulers of the world. Why didn't this happen? Why did that happen? Why didn't this person? Why isn't that person exposed? With all the wrong he did, or with all the wrong she did, why do people turn against me and not against them? I didn't do anything. This is life. Because Allah wants to put you in a corner where you find nothing. Nobody who believes you. Nobody who takes you by the hand. Nobody who supports you. Nobody who helps you. Nothing. In that little tiny, dark, obscure corner. So that eventually you will understand that life has nothing to give you. And that Allah has everything to give you. And this is why we are tested over and over again. Not because He hates us, because He wants to get every hope in creation out of our hearts. He wants our tears no longer to flow because of the harm we are afflicted with. He wants our tears to flow because we yearn for Him to strengthen us in the midst of this difficult life. And this is why one of the names of Allah Jalla wa Ala is Al-Wali. Al-Wali and Al-Wali. Al-Wali alladhi yuwalli amra wa shu'una ibadihi. Al-Wali is the one that takes responsibility over that which concerns his slaves. If Allah loves you, then He will take care of everything in your life. But you need to have the courage to give yourself. You know, it's like when you climb a mountain and you have these, how do you call these, subhanAllah, when you mount the Mount Everest, I haven't, by the way. You have, how do they call it? These people that guide you?
Sherpas.
Sherpas, right? Yeah. Do we say Sherpas like this? Okay. You have these Sherpas. You need to follow them blindly. You need to shut off your mind. They have done it so many times. They say, go left, go right, go over, go down. Even if it looks dangerous, you need to follow. He says, not one step to the left. He said, but look, look. He says, yes, I know. I've been here. One step to the left and it's finished. So you have to let go at a certain moment and put your trust in your leader to the top of the Mount Everest. But to be quite frank, we keep on holding on to our own selves, like we are afraid to submit to Allah. Sometimes we are afraid to submit ourselves to His guidance, to His power, to His being a king. And we think that we will be able to take care of it. We can't. Some tests will never leave you in this life. Some tests will follow you till your grave. And then you say, Salaam alaikum. They're gone forever. You have an eternal reward in the gardens of bliss. And you will see on the day of judgment all the people that you couldn't take care of, those who were harming you, those who were afflicting harm on you, who were making you desperate, depressed, you will find them on the day of judgment. Because Allah doesn't let go. Allah doesn't let go. And this is where we are sometimes too impatient. We have no patience. I want it now. I want to see them now. Ya Rabbi, 5 months, 1 year, that guy. Subhanallah, you wanted to marry a woman or a man. And all of a sudden there is another woman or another man who gets married to this woman or man. It's your friend. He knew that you wanted to get married to Zainab, for example. You wanted to get married to her or to Ahmed. And then you say, yes, you know, I found a very good sister. I'm going to get married to her, bro. You know, I really like her, inshallah, because she's on the deen. And she's intelligent. The brother says, oh, subhanAllah, who's that? Zainab. Oh, okay, yeah, good, good. And then when you go knock the door to ask her hand, say, I'm sorry, there's somebody who already asked her hand. Who's that? It appears to be your friend. This breaks your heart, tears you apart. Your trust just, you know, in people evaporated together with your friend. And now you see them happy every time. And now you need to work on your own heart because you don't want this lady to be unhappy. You don't want this. So instead of saying, Ya Rabbi, crush their marriage, Ya Rabbi. Ya Rabbi, don't give them any children. Ya Rabbi, make them poor, make them suffer. SubhanAllah. You are going to say, Ya Rabbi, please give barakah. And if you think that something needs to be settled, أُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَيْكِ. I rest my case with you, Ya Rabbi. Because the reason why we go mad in our lives, the reason why we lose it sometimes, the reason why we become angry and depressed and frustrated is because we can't let go. Our heart turned into a suitcase or a backpack where we put every frustration. And then at the end, it's filled. We can't carry anything anymore. Do you know why? Because you weren't created to carry all of this. You were created to let go of things, to give them to Allah. وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. I rest my case with Allah because verily Allah sees His creation. So when these kind of things happen, you say Bismillah. Why? Because these negative emotions, they imprison you. You wake up with them, you go to bed with them. SubhanAllah, you pray with them, you eat with them, you sleep. Everything in your life turns around your frustration. So at the end, you are a captive. You are imprisoned. So you want to be free. You don't want to wake up every day with this eventually something which will turn into an obsession, you know. When people have wronged you, you start following them. Oh, Facebook, what did they do today? Oh, they're smiling today. Why are they smiling? Like, subhanAllah. Oh, when they're on a holiday, they are making money now and I am not. And, you know, obsession, following. SubhanAllah. Don't. Allah is al-wali. Allah will take care of everything better than you do. Without any doubt. Al-wali huwa alladhi yuwalli amra ibadihi wa shu'unahum. He is the one who takes care of the affairs of his servants. In everything. Also your rizq. Young guys like you, for example. Other people. And us, you know, adults. We think about the future. So much that we're afraid. Like we're not sometimes enjoying our present because we are worrying about tomorrow. We don't enjoy our present while everything is there to be happy. Because we worry about our tomorrow. While some people, you know, they have reason to worry, but they hope for tomorrow. You see the difference? Very often the people who have the most blessings are the ones who are blind for their blessings. So what about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? Bro, you have healthy children. Brother, you have healthy children. You have a health, your wife, your mother is still there, your father is there. You have your job, you have your car. You have a little cough. Okay, hay fever, no problem. You won't die. You have everything, but you're looking there. But you have everything. And then you have people. Mothers right now, while we talk, in Syria, Iraq, Yemen, while we are speaking here, worrying a bit about our income, next month, will I be able, you know, to have an extra £150 to buy that dress that I want to wear when I travel to Pakistan? You know, while maybe we fight, husband and wife, no, that's too much. No, not too. But you promised me, please, it's only once I go there. I want the best dress. No, you don't. So we are fighting over ni'am. We are fighting over blessings. He said, tfaddali, take it, go. I will draw a smile on your face if you like. But on the other hand, while we are sitting here, there's maybe a woman with a baby that she still needs to feed. She doesn't even know if in the evening she will have sufficient amount of milk, you know, because she's underfed herself. While she's walking with a toddler here, 3 years old, another one 4 years old. Mommy, mommy, hungry, hungry. The child is crying. And she says, my children, don't worry, tomorrow will be better. So they look there and they believe that Allah can give better. And we have everything and we believe that Allah will give worse. Doesn't make sense, does it? So al-wali, enjoy today, wallah. If everything goes well today, enjoy it. Wallahi, that's the biggest form of worship, is to appreciate what Allah Jalla wa'ala has given you. that you can walk, that you can talk, that you can smell the food, that you can see colors, that you can hear sounds, that you feel the wind. So, you know, some people have no feeling whatsoever on their skin. They don't feel anything. Even pain, they don't feel pain. They need to watch out for whatever they do. You know, they burn themselves, they don't feel it. Sometimes they might be harmed, they don't know. They die. Why? Because they didn't feel pain. We have everything to be happy about. So now, to come back. Al-Wali is the one who takes care of his servants, also about their rizq. Don't worry about your rizq. Don't. Drives you crazy. The one who has provided for billions of people is able to provide for you. But you need to let go with your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, like in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, and the Sunan of Imam Tirmidhi, and the hadith is sound, he said, Ya ibadi, tafarraghu li'ibadati, amla'u qalbaka, ya abdi, tafarragh li'ibadati, amla'u qalbaka ghinan wa asuddu faqrak. وَأَسُدْ فَقْرَكْ يعني, he said, oh my servant, free yourself to worship me and I will fill your heart with a richness. You know, you will feel rich on the inside and I will take care of your poverty. That's the only thing you need to do. Free yourself. When we are worrying, panicking for risk, we knock on every door, but not on his. While we say that we believe that he is the king and the sustainer of the universe, we know, bro, I don't have money. What do I do? But there, Razzaq, Al-Wali, he will take care of you. So now, Al-Wali, as I said, is the one that takes care of you. But also by giving you advice, by showing you the way. When someone wants good for you, he tells you even those things that you don't like. Right? A good parent just doesn't only tell you, you know, what you need to do, but also what you need to watch out for. That's the Qur'an. It tells you, do this, don't do this. This is Al-Wali. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us sometimes things we don't like to hear. This is the human being, you know. Nobody told us that religion is always easy upon the ego. No. Otherwise, paradise would have been really easy. If everything we had to do was like, oh, piece of cake. Waking up 3 o'clock at night is for me exactly the same as eating a brownie. Well, that would be nice. You know, going to Taraweeh after so many hours of fasting and really being tired and trying to, you know, to hold on to my own hand, not to, you know, fall asleep. For me is the same as watching the Champions League. That would be easy, wouldn't it? But it isn't. And you don't need to feel bad if sometimes you feel that it's heavy upon your shoulders. It's when it's heavy, and it's when you feel, I don't want to do it, and you yet do it, that's your biggest reward. When you fight yourself, say, come on, get out of your bed, lazy man. Go and pray. Lower your gaze. No, but lower your gaze, I said, okay. While everything in your heart says, look, no, I don't. Prophet ﷺ said, if someone passes and wants to look with passion, being into a woman, looking at a man or a man looking at a woman, and he said, and if then one lowers the gaze, Allah will fill his heart with a light and a joy until the day of judgment. When you lower your gaze for the sake of Allah جل وعلا, he said, no. All of a sudden you feel light in your heart. Because staying away from haram is one of the biggest forms of worship. You know, staying away from haram is one of the biggest forms of worship. So now, yes, don't feel bad when sometimes you feel, I don't really have a feeling that I want to pray. Are you still praying? Yes, then you're a good man. You're a good woman. It's good. Keep on fighting yourself. It's with ups and downs. We are no angels. You know, the iman of the Rusul, iman of the prophets, always increases. It always increases, never goes down. The iman of the angels, it's stagnated. We say it like that. It's always the same. And sorry, what do you say? Consistent. Okay, it's consistent. And then we have the iman of the believer. يزيد بالطاعة وينقص بالمعصية. يعني it increases when he or she worships Allah, and decreases when one is disobedient. And this is what we feel. Sometimes we don't enjoy being with Allah as much as other times. And that's just because we killed our heart. So we need to revive it. Naam. So now, Al-Wali subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who takes care of you. He's the one who takes care of you. Even when you don't see it. Even when you don't feel it. If you are on the truth, victory will be yours. Done. If you doubt this, you have a problem with your faith. If you doubt what I just said, you are having a big problem with your faith. If you are on the truth, victory is yours. When? That's another story. We don't know when. It can be here, it can be there. And the example I always give in every name of Allah, Jalla wa Ala, is Yusuf alayhi salam. If you look at him, everybody thought, you know, that they were winning. The brother said, yeah, Yusuf is in the well. There we are. Gone. He will never come to his father again. Then they found Yusuf. Said, yes, we're going to sell him like a slave. And then he went to his master's house. And then the lady, the wife of his master, wanted to abuse Yusuf. And then he went into prison. Everybody was happy now. The brothers were happy. Everybody was happy. Why? Because they didn't know that Allah has the last word and the first word. Sometimes when He loves you, He makes you go through the mud of humiliation. The mud of humiliation to allow you to find the treasure of honor. Sometimes, when people want a treasure in the depths of the ocean, they go for weeks looking for that treasure. It's not nice. Decompression, one month, you know, they need to stay in a small little room in the boat because they're going to dive 100 meters or 200 meters. They don't come up immediately, do they? They stay there. They need to stay. They need to acclimatize or whatever you call it to adapt to that kind of pressure. Then they go and they dig under the mud. What are they doing? Mud, suffering, masks, oxygen, whatever, far away from their families, waves of 10 meters, 20 meters, at the end to find a treasure. When you look at them, you say, I don't want to do this. But when you see the results, you say, I want this. True? When you look at, for example, at Anthony Joshua, for example, right? Apart from his last fight, then you see that when you see the money, you say, I want this. When you see the muscle, you say, I want this. But when you see what he has to do for it, you say, not for me. So we all agree that the people we very often look up to get to a result we would like, go through ways that we dislike. And that's the same with faith. The same with your iman. When Allah wants you at the highest levels, I mean close to Him, near to Him, there where there are only but a few participants, you know, the better you get, the fewer they come. So, close to Allah, this real connection, then you have to go through everything you hate. Losing your honor, maybe losing your children, maybe losing your status, your job, your health. This. You wanted me. Well, I will see, I will show you if you really want me. There I take your health. You still want me? There I take your wife or your husband. Still want me? There I take your honor. Want me? There I take your money. You wanted me. You said, you're the only thing I want, Ya Rabbi. Well, here you are. So this is what happens. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you near to Him and He finds in your heart that you have obstacles between Him and you that distract you from Him, He will take away the distractions. So don't get distracted and He will let you have and keep what you love. But if you are distracted from Him, then He will take it away. Unless He knows that you're not worth to come near to Him. You see? So Al-Wali subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that takes care of you even through ways and paths that you dislike. But at the end, victory is yours, even if it doesn't look like it. Wait. Allah. Okay. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أوثق عرى الإيمان موالاة الله. Now the strongest handhold, we say handhold? What you hold on to, like if you have, yeah, but it's something with hand. I looked up the word before coming here and I forgot it.
Hand grip?
Let us call it hand grip, whatever. Okay. So it's the, you know when you have these old vases, a vase, then you,
handle.
Khalas. Tafakna, handle. The problem is if the scholars here differ about the word, what do I need to go by? Handhold? Khalas. Handhold. So the strongest handhold, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is muwalatullah, meaning that you leave your affairs to Allah and that you direct yourself to Him. He said that's the strongest shackle of faith. You know, the strongest handhold. So anyway, so now there is a difference between al-wali and al-wali. Now, if you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of your affairs, you know, then you will not stand up for yourself in a wrong way. Meaning, our scholars, they very often, pious people used to be afraid to react to the wrong and to the wrong the people did towards them and the harm they afflicted them with. Because they said, look, when you harm me, it's your loss. When I react, either I react in harmony with what you have done, and then we're equal, or either I do worse than you have done. If somebody would say, say behind my back, yes, Sulaiman, he said that you are a real donkey. And I said, what? He said that you are a real donkey. I said, sorry? No. And then, if I then now say, well, you know what? He is a real, real donkey. I said, real. One word more. Now, he's the one who's being wronged. See this? And this is sometimes when people make us angry because they wrong us. You know, they talk nonsense about us. They accuse us of something. They lie about us. They say, he told and he said, well, you didn't do it. Makes us angry, doesn't it? So now, if I now react, because every time I see this person, I will talk, he's the liar. He's the one who told this. And you keep on doing this for months and months and months. Okay. Now, you need to excuse yourself to him. Do you see how it works? So a lot of people would never react emotionally, but only fiqhi. From a juristic point of view, they would see, okay, in fiqh, has he got to give something to me? Then I will, you know, through the legal ways, get it back. But if it was insulting or harming or gossiping, they would just let go. They said, Allah will take care of it. I see. So, sometimes, and that's what I started with, you just need to leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-wali. Okay, from everything what I've said until now, what have you taken away for yourself? What have you taken away for yourself? From the beginning. Okay. Okay, very good. Allah takes care of you even through a way or a path that doesn't seem to be heading to your victory. Two.
We have to be patient.
Yes, we have to be very patient. Yes. Three.
Stay hopeful.
Stay hopeful, why?
Because even if you don't see what's happening, if you don't see any real results, be hopeful of results.
Yes, good. Four. Our brother. No, I'm sure you have something. What's your name, please?
Abdullah.
Abdullah. Beautiful name. Prophet ﷺ said that the two most beloved names to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Abdullah and Abdurrahman. MashaAllah, good. Your son? Ah. MashaAllah. Nice. Yes.
Don't get distracted by the dunya.
Don't get distracted by the dunya. Yes. Please.
Gratefulness.
Okay.
If you're not grateful for what you already have, then forget what you want. You may end up losing what you already have.
Yes. Very good. Very good. You?
Love and trust go together, hand in hand, for Allah.
Okay. Where did you get that from? I mean, how? Where did you take this away from?
How you describe Allah wants His relationship to be with you.
Yes.
From that.
Okay.
All the bits come together, summarized maybe in that way.
Okay.
And then a little bit added to that, maybe sprinkling on the cake is, I think the word is ihsan, having beauty,
excellence
in
yeah.
your relation, in everything you do. So. If you put all of those together and have ihsan in your trust, then that would maybe help your relationship.
Okay. And also at the very beginning, barakallahu fikum, also at the very beginning when we said that life will not give you what you want. And that's where we always go wrong. That's the heartbreaker. And that's the soul shaker. You know? It always goes wrong there. You know? SubhanAllah. So we have Allah Al-Wali and Al-Wali, and I'm not going into detail of the name Al-Wali subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then we have Allah Jalla wa Ala, who is at the same time Al-Hafidh. Naam, he's Al-Wali Al-Hafidh. And Al-Hafidh is the one who preserves, the one who protects. Any, subhanAllah. And Fakhruddin Razi rahimahullah azza wa jalla, he said, like, if you want to know Allah's blessing, then look at what He is protecting you against. Do we say protecting against something? Okay, what is withholding from you? Like, I mean, for the moment, what you should know, we have the laws of nature, but Allah's power is stronger than the law of nature, isn't it? So, law of nature is necessary. And there needs to be gravity, there needs to be all these things. Allah has created it. It's not just like, oh, there it was. No, we don't believe that. We believe that everything was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we also believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can dismantle and, you know, look at so many things. Like in the Guinness Book of Records in the 90s, and I don't know why they put it in the Guinness Book of Records, they wrote that a stewardess, yani a female steward on a airplane, fell down from 10,000 meters. I don't know how many miles it is. It's a, you know, cruising flight height. Fell down and she came out of the plane without any scratch. So she's the record holder of falling from the highest height and surviving it without a scratch. Says, voila. What did she do to... Yes, please. No, she didn't know. No. It's the same thing with, for example, also in the Guinness Book of Records, I don't know why he's there as well, a man who was struck by lightning 7 times and didn't die. 7 times. One in his toe, one on his head. And they put them in these Guinness Book of Records that I say, but they didn't have to do anything for it. It's actually Allah who did it. You see, so, oh, well done, you survived. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a protector, you see. But we also believe in the asbab. The asbab were created, you know. And this is what the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah is about. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. And there were people from Yemen, they were performing Hajj, but they wouldn't take food with them. They said, نَحْنُ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. We are those who put their trust in Allah. So we go, we take no food, no drink, no anything, we just go. But then when they arrived, they started asking people for food. So have you got a bit of food? So they turned into beggars. So they were not mutawakkilun, they were mutawakkilun. Al-mutawakkil huwa alladhi yatawakkalu ala Allahi min ghayri an yattakhidha as-sababa. Yani, the one who is mutawakkil is the one who puts his trust in Allah without any means, using any means. This is allowed If you then not turn into a beggar, for example, and this is why Ibn Rajab said, if someone doesn't want to take medicine when he's ill, then he would be allowed to do so. If he says, Allah can cure me, but then he doesn't have to complain. He doesn't later on have to say, why did I do this? Why? Nothing. And if you then accept the decree, it would be allowed. Other scholars say no, because you were ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take care of the amana, that what you have been entrusted with, and that's your body. And this is why some scholars go very far in explaining the verse, Allah وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ يعني, and the other one, كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا يعني, eat from the good things. Now, a question that I want to ask, eat from the good things. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, good things was al-halal al-tayyib, meaning it was the halal. They didn't have E's, they didn't have Z's, they didn't have all these numbers, you know, in their food. It would either be clear, forward, straightforward halal, straightforward haram. And they wouldn't eat things that would directly, you know, have a bad effect on their health. Now today, what is a tayyibat? Is it only for the faqih to decide? No. The tayyibat from a juristic point of view is clear. Halal and haram is very clear, straightforward in Quran and Sunnah. But now the verse has a larger meaning. The tayyibat meaning everything which is good for your body. Not only halal and haram now. But everything which is good for your body is halal. And everything which is bad for your body is haram because of that which it can lead to. So all these E numbers, they can lead to cancer. No, the problem is you're going back home, you find in your fridge all these E numbers. You said, Sulaiman, you spoiled my evening. So anyway, you ruined my evening. So all these things which are bad for our body, because we are eating things which are not meant for a human being to eat from. Now many things that we eat, like candies and stuff, there is no food in it. There is no nutrition, any nutrition in it. So الطيبات actually now means everything which is halal and which is good for your body. And the haram and the khabitha from the akil is everything which is bad for your body. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being al-hafidh, also made clear how we should do hifdh of ourselves. Clear? He also showed how we need to preserve our body. And I'm not a good example. I have diabetes, and probably because I eat too much sugar, I don't know. So, but we need to preserve our bodies, and we need to preserve our minds, we need to preserve our heart, and we need to preserve our soul. All of this. So Allah Al-Hafidh, yes, He's the protector, but Him being the protector also taught us how to protect ourselves. So you can't just, you know, sit in a car, drive 150 miles an hour without your seatbelt in Germany, and then, boom, you crash, you die, or you're paralyzed for the rest of your life. He said, but Allah was hafid. It doesn't work like that. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, put your trust in Allah, put your trust in Allah, but take your precautions. Put your trust in Allah, but take your precautions. The Prophet ﷺ made it very clear. Like when the man came to the, like we said, to the mosque, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, they stole my camel, remember? And he said, did you tie your camel? He said, but I put my trust in Allah. He said, tie your camel and then put your trust in Allah. You know, it's the same thing. And so now we need to learn, if we know that Allah is the protector, subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we are going to protect our body, our deen, our mind, our children, our ummah, humanity. This is what it means to believe in Allah, the protector. When He descended the Quran and the Sunnah, He told us exactly what to do to keep the world safe, to keep the world from being corrupted. If we were to have followed the Quran and the Sunnah, we wouldn't have this problem with the planet Earth heating up. How do you call this? Global warming, of course, yeah. So we wouldn't have the problem of global warming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the very Surah Al-Baqarah, He said, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. And when you tell them, don't corrupt, spread corruption over the earth, and don't, you know, filthy the earth, and whatever it entails, the word, said, we only do good. Yes, for your own pocket. That's what people do. They allow laws and they forbid other laws, laws that bring money into the pockets of the important people, they won't, you know, forbid them. But small tiny things, like you drive in Belgium with your car in a certain zone, because you don't have money, you know, to buy a new car. So you go to a certain low emission zone, and I'm talking about Belgium now, so I'm in no way referring to the UK. So in Belgium, when you drive your car, there's a low emission zone, right? So if your car is from 2008, you can't drive there anymore. They say, yes, low emission. But the problem is, does this really change something? This is number one. Two, who are they helping? Because when you pay, where does it go? Does it go to planet Earth? Or does it go to pocket Earth? You know? And so what I'm trying to say is, you know, Allah al-Hafiz, Jalla wa Ala, if we believe in Him, then we need to express this also by taking care of issues like global warming, for example. And now the problem is, when we do this as Muslims, we don't need to put the ticket Islam on it. So we want to participate in the debate of global warming. We don't need to come with قال الله, قال رسوله, and so forth. Why? Because taking part in the dialogue is actually putting into practice Quran and Sunnah. Do you understand what I mean? So we can participate with everybody who's already participating without turning it into something entirely Islamic and putting this sticker on it and so forth, because this might stop people from working together on something which is important, which doesn't mean you shouldn't tell you're a Muslim and not that you tell it because you want to, and so forth. Anyway, Al-Hafidh. So we as Muslims are the first ones who are responsible for everything which happens on the face of the earth. Not meaning we are responsible, we are the cause. But we have a responsibility. We are a ummah of responsibilities. So if Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam were to come back today, what do you think he would talk about? Do you think he would rest? Do you think he would sit and have food while people are dying? Don't you think that he would look into solutions to get rid of poverty and people dying because they have nothing to eat, Muslims and non-Muslims alike? He wouldn't rest. So why do we? We always say, I can't do anything about it. It's too big. It's the world. When the Prophet ﷺ came, he came into the midst of a world. We had Persia on the one hand, we had the Romans on the other, and they were all oppressing people. Even there where the Prophet ﷺ came, they were oppressing people. The leaders were oppressing people. Everybody was burying girls alive. Widows had no right whatsoever. Girls didn't inherit anything. When a man would die, then his son would inherit his wife, if it was not his mother. Would inherit his wife, she had nothing to say. If a man divorced his wife, he could choose whether she got married again or not. This was the life they were living. There was prostitution, there were so many different... Riba was everywhere. People were slaughtering for idols. They were going naked around the Kaaba. Should I say more? That was the world Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in. So he could have said, oh, this is too much. But he was courageous. All of a sudden, people didn't bury their baby girls anymore. You know, when... He even took his granddaughter, Umayma is the Musaffar, on his shoulders to show all these macho men that the place of a baby girl isn't under the soil, it is on the shoulders of a prophet. You see? Bilal radiallahu anhu, the Arabs back in the days, they were racist. They didn't like people with a dark colored skin. They say, no, they are just there to serve us. They didn't give them any qima, any value. Like Bilal radiallahu anhu, under these stones, you know, crushing him, they put him, you know, for an hour on his belly in the burning sand. It can, you know, be as hot as 60 degrees Celsius in the desert. And then they would turn him, but not naked, no, they would put on him a harness of iron. Then they would turn him from dhahran li batan. They would, you know, whip him in the face. And he was saying, Ahadun Ahad, Ahadun Ahad, he's one, he's one. And now the Prophet ﷺ, when he came back to Medina, Where did he tell Bilal to perform the adhan? On the stone of Jannah. The Kaaba. So the one that was saying Ahadun Ahad, calling upon Allah when no one heard him, under the stones of dunya, was now allowed to perform the adhan, calling upon Allah when everybody heard it, above the stone of Jannah. He said, people of a dark color, their place, my friend, is not under a stone. It's above the stone of Jannah. When we see this, you know, how he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani, showed everything to the people, not just in words, but in deeds. I mean, 1,400 years ago, people were enslaving people from Africa everywhere. Colonialism everywhere, with ships and boats, the Portuguese, the Italians, the people from Spain, everywhere. Selling them, throwing them off the boat, like they were no humans. But we're not allowed to say this, that's a part of history we don't like to mention. Well, it was there not that long ago, even in South Africa, apartheid. 1,400 years ago, when everybody was doing this, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La farqa bayna a'jamiyin wala arabiyin wala abyad wala aswad illa bittaqwa. Bayna arabi wa a'jami. There is no difference between an Arab and a non-Arab, white or black, apart from taqwa. The way he is on the inside. That's what it means, taqwa, to start with. That what makes you different is not the way you look, it's the way you are. That is what makes you human. So the Prophet ﷺ was doing all of this. Did he say, I can't? One man, without Facebook, no social media, no likes, nothing, until today. 1,400 years later, more than almost 2 billion followers. 2 billion followers. There is no star, not even Ronaldo has 2 billion followers. Yeah, he's got 120 million or something. It's nothing, 2 billion followers. And he doesn't have a page. Without page, how do you do this? When it comes from Allah. It's ajeeb. You know, everybody does the most strange things on internet, on Instagram and so forth, to have as many people as they can, the most stupid things. 10,000 people, 20,000 people, when they got 500,000 people, they think that they are the president of Instagram. And subhanAllah, our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his name is mentioned 5 times a day. In the adhan. Then in prayer. Always. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And we are the one that raised your name. مَا ذُكِرْتُ إِلَّا وَذُكِرْتَ مَعِي. مَا ذُكِرْتُ. Whenever I am mentioned, then you are mentioned with me. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ is not complete without أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Adhan, we ashadu an la ilaha illallah, is not complete, we ashadu Muhammad Rasulullah. You see this? وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. So, Allah is al-hafidh. He preserved His deen, with or without us. And this is why sometimes we say, when everything goes wrong, you know what? I'm not going to do anything anymore. I'm not going to help people anymore. Everybody I help, they turn against me. Every time I try to be good, people are bad to me. Done. Who are you stopping it for? If you want to build your hereafter, you have no choice but to continue. You have no choice but to carry on doing good. You don't care. Because the people are not the ones who will reward you. The people are not the ones who will protect you. The people are not the ones who will grant you paradise. The people are not the ones that will protect you against hellfire. It's Allah. You do it for Allah. And this is why we end with what we started with. Ikhlas is your only savior, bi-ithnillah. Ikhlas. So, Allah protected the deen. Like one of the ulama said, if other religions and faith communities would have been afflicted with what the Muslims are afflicted with, they wouldn't have survived. They would not have survived. Do you see everything which happened? I mean, not even 200 years ago, Muslim countries were colonized. The French, the Italians, everybody came, hi, hey, give me a piece of cake. Give me a piece of your land, give me, give me, give me. And then they went. They even didn't allow people to speak their own language. But today, you see that a Muslim is also a hafiz, not al-hafiz. All these people in these Muslim countries that suffered, being it in Libya, being it in Lebanon, being it in Palestine, being it in Morocco, being it in Tunisia, all these countries that were colonized, or being it in Pakistan, whatever, all these people, they are now in the countries of the people that colonized them, not to seek revenge. They are looking to build bridges. This is how strong Muslims are. That they look at today, that they can forgive tomorrow, and that they look, that they can forgive yesterday, and that they look at tomorrow, that they want to live in peace, even after everything they've gone through. And this is what makes me proud, being a part of your community. I've turned Muslim when I was 18, and I can say that regardless of our flaws, our shortcomings, our mistakes, and our many diseases, as a community, there is one thing, and that is that we have strength. When we fall, we crawl until we can stand again. And when we stand strong, we help those who have wronged us yesterday. This is what this community is. So the community is one, this community is one of the manifestations of the name Al-Hafidh subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is last, that's the last thing I want to say. One of my teachers said in his tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha about Sirat Al-Mustaqim, he said this deen is like a tree. When you cut its branches, it grows stronger. When you cut the branches, they come back stronger, more leaves. And this is what happens to Islam. Every time it goes through these difficult periods in time, all of a sudden you see it grow. The terrible thing which happened in America, you know, when the Twin Tower was attacked, then you see after that the amount of non-Muslims who were interested in Islam grew. Not meaning that what happened is a good thing, what happened is a bad thing. We never want this to happen again to anybody in the world, being Muslims or non. But you see that some people said, okay, this is a proof that all Muslims are bad people, which doesn't make any sense. But then people started looking, is Islam really so bad? Is Islam really so terrible? And then they found out that Islam is actually very beautiful. So in that year, more Quran, there were more masahif sold than ever before. And more Muslims, yani more people embrace Islam than ever before. So when, subhanAllah, Allah takes care of his deen, let him take care of you. Trust him, submit yourself to him, and let him guide your way, and you will find your path. Through him, with him, by him, Jalla wa ala subhanahu wa ta'ala, أقولوا قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم اللهم اجعل بقاءنا في هذه الدنيا صوما واللقاء معكم يا رب عيدا اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم اجعلنا من أهل القرآن اللهم اجعلنا اللهم كن لنا وليا ونصيرا اللهم إنا نسألك أن ترفع الظلم عن العالم يا رب العالمين اللهم كن مع المظلومين اللهم كن لهم نصيرا ووليا لا إله إلا أنت ربي سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. وياكم.